I want to go to Isaiah chapter 44 this morning for a beginning place. And notice some things that the prophet Isaiah was writing about. In Isaiah 44, I'll start in verse 5 for the sake of time. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee that from time that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Don't you just love the statements that God makes himself? He asks a question that ought to be very relevant to a lot of people today. And he says, is there a God beside me? Is there anyone at all that can call things and declare things and set things in order? Is there anyone at all that can declare what things are coming in the future like our God can and like he has and like he does through the prophets? Is there any God beside me? I love it when he gives the answer that is truthful. And he says, yea, there is no God. I know not any. I love the Word of God. I love the fact that he has preserved it for us. And that this one book, I don't know how many books may have been written in the history and the course of the world. Who knows? Maybe it's millions. It probably is. Millions and millions of books have been written. But how about this one book? One single solitary book that is the canon of Scripture that God has, through the work of the Holy Spirit, has superintended and have built this book and had this book put together, and by his might and by his power and by his preservation, he has preserved this book. Even today, we are reading the words of God. Amen. Very important, this one book. I love the fact that we have one place, especially nowadays in the world in which we live. I especially love the fact that there's one place I can come to and I know what I'm reading is the truth. I know I can find answers here. I hope that you feel the same way. I hope that you know there are all the answers to life's problems and questions are in this book. And I hope that you know that and feel that way, and I hope that you read it and go to it often. God says, he makes a statement, there are no other gods beside me. I'm the only one. In verse 9, he begins talking about a people that don't understand that. He says, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or a molten, a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Well, I think we all know that's turned out to be quite a few people have done that through the years. He says, behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. This is people who make graven images and false gods. He talks about the blacksmith in verse 12. He says, the smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and he's faint. The blacksmith sometimes labors and labors and spends many hours taking a piece of metal and beating it with a hammer, shaping it, turning it, holding it with his tongs, heating it up to a glowing red and trying to shape and fashion this thing into some vision and creation in his mind of what a false god might look like. He said he labors at it, he really doesn't accomplish anything, and when he finishes, he's all tired and he's hungry and he's very faint. Verse 13, he says, now here goes some others. This is one I really wanted to kind of get to this morning, really focus on, is the carpenter. Okay, here goes a man. He says that he stretcheth out his rule, he marketh it out with a line, he fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with the compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. And he also plants a tree. He says he planteth an ash. And there's a lot of furniture made by ash, out of ash wood, by the way. Very beautiful wood. The cypress, oak, and cedar happen to be three of my favorite woods. Cedar's very durable, but it's been all types of things made for outside, made out of cedar that are very durable and very rustic looking, very pretty. Oak is very strong. I've cut a lot of oak firewood. I love oak furniture. These old oak tables and chairs and dressers, beautiful. Cypress is a very special wood. You know, me being from Louisiana, we had a lot of cypress trees down that way, and a lot of old furniture, a lot of things were made out of cypress. It's a very unique wood in the fact that it has natural resistance to rot. And so a lot of things down in the deep south, in that part of the country, were made out of cypress way before they had preserving agents and things such as that. I love those three trees. But he says, here goes someone that plants an ash tree in the forest, and the rain doth nourish it, and then it shall be for a man to burn. When the tree grows up and it gets bigger, eventually one day, this is what's going to happen to the ash tree that was planted. It's going to be for a man to burn. He will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and he worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and he falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, and with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and he saith, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image, he falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. You wouldn't hardly believe that there would be someone that might do this. When you think about it this morning, would there ever be someone who would come up to a tree and look at it and say, that's a nice tree. Oh, that's a nice ash tree. I'm going to cut this tree down. I'm going to cut up some of it for firewood. I'm going to make me a nice fire. I'm going to warm myself with part of this tree. I'm going to use part of the fire for cooking. And I'm going to bake some bread on it and have something to eat. And then what's left of it, I'll take a few pieces of it and I'm going to start carving it. And I'm going to carve myself a little idol. And now, lo and behold, that's going to be my God, and I will fall down and pray to the what's left of this tree, the residue of it. I'll tell you, he sure used the tree for a lot of different things. Very efficient use of a tree, but I mean, how terrible of a use is it when you make a graven image out of a tree? How useless is it when you do that? But yet Isaiah said that there's people that will. You remember when the Philistines got a hold to the Ark of God once upon a time? And they took that thing back to one of their cities called Ashdod. And they took it immediately and they brought the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in the temple of Dagon, the fish god. Dagon was a false Philistine god. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant and they set it in the temple right next to the little statue of Dagon. The next morning they came in, Dagon was fallen off of his pedestal face down. They set him back up. They had to pick him up because he's a false god. He couldn't pick himself up. They picked him back up, and the Philistines, they set him back on the pedestal. The next morning they came in, and Dagon was fallen down again, and his head and both of his hands were cut off, and just the stump was laying there. And so they figured out, I'll tell you, they said, the God of Israel is punishing us. Let's get rid of this thing. And they did in a hurry. Somebody made a little god called Dagon, the fish god. How about the time when the Israelites, when God's own people began to be dissatisfied because Moses was gone up on top of Mount Sinai and he was gone for a number of days. And they said, we don't know what's happened to this man. This man has brought us out of Egypt. He's led us out, and he says, now he's up in this mountain in this dark cloud, and we don't know what's happened. So they talk to his brother, and they talk to Aaron, and they say, Aaron, we'd like you to make us a god. We don't know what's happened to this Moses man. So Aaron says, okay, well, give me all your earrings and all your jewelry. Well, he melted it all down in a fire, and what comes out? A little golden calf. And they say, hey, this is our god here, so let's start dancing around and worshiping the little golden calf. You wouldn't hardly think that people would be that ignorant and make these false gods and these little graven images and make themselves something that they can worship when God has already said there's only one God. There are no other gods. Remember, there was a time when the Apostle Paul went to Mars Hill. He went to Athens. And while he was there, what did he find? He found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. So there's people worshiping a God. They didn't even know who it is, but they said, in case there's one we don't know about, let's just make an altar and worship him anyway. And so Paul was greatly moved. If I had more time, we could go over to Acts chapter 17 and look at some of the things that Paul had to say about those people worshiping over there, the idolatry that was taking place in Athens. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 19, I believe it is, you had the time where the apostles ran in to at the city of Ephesus. They ran into a silversmith that was making little silver shrines for the god that they called Diana. They had a false god named Diana, and they were making little figurines to worship her with. I'll just tell you this. You would think that people would know better. You would think that people would understand there are no false gods and that this is not going to be a problem today, but I'll tell you, it still is. It's still a problem. In fact, the very area that I came from, much of the southern half of the state of Louisiana, you could go and in many, many front yards of many beautiful, tidy, clean, neat little homes, there'd be a little statue sitting out there of a certain person. And it still happens. It's all over the world. We still have this today. But God says, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. I believe if there was another one, God is so honest and forthright, he would tell you if it was, but he says there's not another God. So you think about this, and you think about the very idea that someone would cut down a tree and try to use it in this manner, and doesn't it seem foolish? I mean, doesn't it sound foolish to you this morning as we're all here together reading this and we're hearing about what somebody would do with a tree, use it for all these good uses, and then the very last thing, he does something terrible, he carves himself a little figure and then he falls down on his knees and he prays to it. And so you say that's foolish. Well, I'll tell you, God knew about this a long time ago. He knew about this problem a long time ago. And I think the fact that we are still seeing different levels of idolatry and different types of idolatry today, I think it's one of the greatest perils that Christians face in the world today is idolatry of various types. It's one of the most dangerous things. But I want you to know that God has made some theological absolutes. God has set forth some theological absolutes. God has also set forth some moral absolutes. I think you can find them all in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. I'm in Exodus chapter 20. That's where I want to come over here for a few minutes, the remainder of our time today. In Exodus chapter 20, this is where God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. You just notice the first two commandments here. Well, I'm going to just quote the first four commandments here because I think the first four commandments are theological absolutes given by God, established by God, the only true God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And then number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, because the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And then number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We've talked in detail about the Sabbath day in recent times, haven't we? We talked about the importance of the Sabbath day and the fact that God established the Sabbath day and that it means something to him. And how important the Sabbath day is to God. It's a day he has sanctified and he has set it apart and he has called it a holy day. In fact, this is our holy day. This is the day that Christians have been using to celebrate since the New Testament times is a Sabbath. And this is our holy day. This is that very special day that we are supposed to remember the Sabbath. And so many things could be said about that. And we tried to talk about that recently, I remember. But these are theological absolutes of God. And then you have all the others here. I call these moral absolutes. These are absolutes to live by. And God lists them out. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. You think about this. If we could just get people to obey these 10 laws, these 10 simple laws that God gave. And I mean, wouldn't we all have to agree this morning that they are relatively simple, that we can understand them, and there's no issue understanding what God is meaning here. I think we could agree on that. If you could get people to follow and obey these 10 commandments, I'd be honest with you, I'm not sure how many other laws we would even need. Think about that sometime. Chew on that a little bit. These are so good. These are absolutes given by God that were true when he gave them. They've been true throughout all time, and they are still true now. They have not changed, and God has not changed. But how about somebody that might take a tree and cut it down and try to make an idol and begin to worship? Would somebody like that maybe try to change something God said? Well, I think it's possible. God gave a law and he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. In heaven, on earth, or in the water, he says, thou shalt not make any image of anything that's there. A while back, I know there used to be a little emblem associated with Christianity that was very popular, and it was a little emblem of a fish. And I actually had a t-shirt or two that I had gotten from somewhere that had a Bible verse on it and a little picture of a fish, and I wore it around. But I never really thought about that. I'm not saying it's anything evil, but you know what God said? He says, don't make any image of anything that's in the sea, that's in the water. Nothing in the heavens, nothing in the birds, no animals or beasts on the earth. He says, don't make any carved images of anything. I wonder why that is. Why is it we don't need any types of images to help us worship God? Maybe it's because God says that to worship the true God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not with our hands. It's not with our eyes holding something. I didn't read it, but back over there in Isaiah 44, if I would have read down to verse 20, he's still talking about the man that used the tree to make a false god, and he says, he feeds on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? In other words, he'd be holding the little figure he made out of the tree. He'd hold it, and could it not be said, is there not a lie in your right hand? And it would be. A false god would be if you were holding it. But God says we're not to make any graven images. You might have noticed that we don't have any crosses on our church, either outside or inside here. Well, there's a reason. We just don't want to make images of things to assist us in worship. It's not needed. I mean, the cross was an instrument, a very cruel death to our Lord and our Savior. I mean, it would almost be equivalent today of you maybe making a little figurine of maybe a gurney and some IV thing for if you were going to have a death by putting somebody to death with chemicals, lethal injection, you'd make some figurine of that. Or maybe years ago they used to use electric chair pretty often. You wouldn't want to have a little small miniature version of an electric chair sitting on the mantle in our home. It seems weird if anybody would do that. But same thing. Why would we put a cross? They crucified our Lord on the cross. We don't need those things. There's a reason we don't put them up in our places of worship. But you know, you think about someone who would use a tree in that fashion, and you think about how foolish that is, you say that's crazy. Who would ever do that? Well, I say we have a lot of false gods today that still trouble us. There are many false gods and false religions even today that still exist. Power, money, greed, and politics, that's a false religion to a lot of people. A lot of people live, eat, sleep, and live this false religion of money and greed and power and politics. The epicenter of it in our country is Washington, D.C. It's a false religion. And if you don't believe it's prevalent and you don't believe it exists, well, just open up some news app today and just read some of the beginning headline articles, some of the very first ones. Almost promise you they're going to be about politics and power and greed and people fighting over money and power. It's a false religion is what it is. We don't need any of that. I mean, God's people are peaceful people. We're trying to live in peace. We serve and we worship a God of peace and tranquility, a God of goodness and kindness and love and joy and peace and all of those attributes. And yet, here's a false god that many people are drawn to. Many people worship the god of power and politics and things like that. I'll tell you, not me, and I don't think you do either. But it exists, doesn't it? Look, we're even living in a time right now where we have people that are worshiping the god of violence and intimidation. Have you ever seen a time in our world where so many people say, I'll tell you what, I'm giving you a threat. You either agree with me and the things that I believe and the things that I say, or I'm going to hurt you with violence. I'm going to destroy things, and I'm going to hurt you with violence. We're having that today, aren't we? I mean, we're seeing that. It's a false god and a false religion to people. And it's just, it's growing and it's getting worse. But it's still here. I'll tell you what those people need to hear. They need to hear about the true and the living God. They need to learn something about him, about the God that says, there are no other gods. I don't know any other gods. I'm the only one. He says that God needs to rule and reign in our hearts and to help us to defeat some of these false religions and false gods that are so prevalent in society today. I mean, the level of violence and things that we're seeing now, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the description over there in the book of Genesis when God said that he looked down and what he saw was that the wickedness of man was so bad that all he ever did in his heart was think of wicked and terrible things continuously. And God said that it repented him that he had even made man, and it grieved him at his heart that he had made man, and man had become so violent and so wicked. Some of the things that we're seeing now, it reminds me of that time just before the flood when God said, it repents me that I even made man because of their violence. Every thought and imagination of man's heart was only evil continuously. I tell you, I don't want to live in a time like that. I don't want to be around that. That is violence and intimidation is a false god and a false religion, and I'm afraid that it is growing again now. Look, there's a lot of false gods around us in the world today that are becoming stronger and stronger. You want to know another false god and a false religion today? It's a homosexual lifestyle. That's a false religion, brothers and sisters. There's a people that are worshiping this religion of that type of a hideous lifestyle. And you know what God said about it? God has already established in this book of absolutes, God has established that that type of behavior before God is vile, it's perverse, and it's an abomination. God said it's an abomination in his sight. People have made it a whole religion now. My goodness, look at the confusion that's being foisted upon our young people, even in the schools today, as they are so young and coming up in elementary school and junior high school. The confusion that this religion is foisting upon people. I'll tell you, God has said it is one way. Man says, no, it's not, it's another way. Man, you know what man's doing? Man is standing up and shaking his fist in the face of God and saying, you don't know what's right. Your definitions are not right. Our definitions of right, definitions of marriage and things like that. God said that that lifestyle and that type of thing is perverse. And it's an abomination before him. In fact, the Bible tells us, God's word tells us that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities that were about them in the plains, they were destroyed with the vengeance of eternal fire for an example. That's what the book of Jude says. They were destroyed by eternal fire and brimstone. It fell on those cities. God destroyed them. Why? For an example, because he says that's a hideous, perverse, abominable lifestyle before me, and God doesn't endorse it. God does not like it. There are people today making a religion out of this, and you know what they're doing? Look closely. Just follow some of these things. I won't mention a couple more maybe, but follow along, and you know what's happening? Man, with, I think, through the influence of someone else, our arch enemy is who I think it is. Man, through his influence, is standing up, shaking his fist before God, and he is opposing these absolutes in God's word. You remember what Satan did? What was the very first thing when the serpent showed up in the garden? What was the very first thing he said to Eve? Yea, hath God said? I'm questioning God's word. Did God really say this? And he began to use his lies to twist and distort. And you know the rest of that story. We're still dealing with the fallout from that now, aren't we? We are. But it's always questioning God's word. That's what man's doing now. That's what these false religions of the day and of the hour are doing. They're all questioning God's word and saying, no, God, you don't know. Now we have confused definitions of marriage, don't we? I mean, we have how many people, how many of the leadership in our country are spending time, money, and effort, people that we have elected and are paying to try to help govern us, what are they doing? They're spending their time trying to redefine what marriage is. Well, beloved, God's already said what marriage is. It's an absolute. He said it's marriage is between one man and one woman. And he puts a period after that. And so here's another false god and another false religion that we're dealing with today. And it's a lot of confusion. It's total confusion is being brought among us. Who do you suspect is behind it all? I think it's Satan. I think the evil one, the father of lies, the murderer from the beginning, I think it's him. I think he's behind all this confusion and this challenging of God's word. Have you ever imagined that we might have a false religion today associated with gender confusion? Can you even imagine that that would have ever got started and explode to the place it has now? You know what God said? He said, let us make man after our own image and after our likeness. Male and female made he them. And he put a big period right there. Always remember that God put a period right there. You know why? Because the definition was finished. And the statement that God made, the absolute statement that God made, was finished, and he put a period there. What is man doing? How many genders has man invented? You know what man's doing? He's challenging God's word. That's what he's doing. Look at the confusion being wrought upon our children with this sort of thing. Mass confusion. It's a religion. Gender identity and expression. My daughter even showed me a screenshot of something she had to do at work. She had to answer a question. What gender do you identify yourself with? And she said, I'm so tired of this. I said, I can only imagine. I'm so thankful I'm not in the workplace, because the place that I retired from, I'd be having to do it too, probably. And probably some of you will be touched by that sort of foolishness. You just think it's foolish for a man to cut down a tree and cook some bread with it, make him a little fire, get warm, and then say, oh, let me make a god too. It's not any more foolish than what we're doing today. These false religions and false gods today. You want to know another religion in our country, a false religion? It's the religion of abortion. I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I mean, what more has to be said about it? It's a false god and it's a false religion. It's a religion of abortion. And you got a lot of people that are worshiping this religion. And I'll tell you, I don't think the Lord is happy with it. It's the murder of unborn children. You know what it is? Let's just be honest about it. It's the religion of I am not accountable. I am not accountable for my actions. My sin, my lust, and my sinful lifestyle and my actions, I am not accountable for that. And I do not want to be inconvenienced by my sinful actions and any results that it might produce. That's a religion, and it's a false religion. And God is not happy with it. God is not pleased. The people that are in this religion are demanding the right to sacrifice the life of these babies for convenience sake, that they might continue their ungodly and sinful lifestyle unabated. People are demanding to be able to do that. And they're also combining it with that religion of violence now and the threat of violence. We all see it more and more. We still have issues with idolatry today. We're still faced with it. It hasn't gone away. Nearly every single one of those babies are produced as a direct result of sinful lust and fornication. My goodness. You know, there's a lot could be said too. There's a whole religion associated with sports and recreation today. A whole religion with that. I don't even want to go into that, but it'll just suffice it to say, it's a false religion to some people. To some people, that's all life is. Sports and recreation. So we have a great host of things that are in opposition to God's word in many ways. You know what I like about the Apostle Paul and some of his writings? I love what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. There's so many people today that are just as foolish as the man that would cut down the ash tree and use it for some good purposes, but then he would turn around and use it for a terrible thing, and he'd make a false god, and he'd fall down and worship that. All the people that, through the history of time, that's made false gods, such as Dagon and Diana and the little golden calf and all the others there at Mars Hill. There have been many, many others. All these people who, on the surface, when you read it now, you listen and you say, well, that's foolish, man. Who would ever do that? But look how many have. Look how many are still doing it today. Look at the false religions of our day. God said, I don't know of any other gods. He says, there are none. He says, I am the only one. You know, God has not changed. When God said that, God spoke the truth. Isaiah lived about 800 years before Christ came, and we read that. God said that. That's probably going on close to 3,000 years ago. Well, it's still true today. There are no other gods. No others. I love what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. He says there's one body of Christ. There's only one. Now, I know there's a lot of different denominations. I know there's a lot of different religions around the world. The world is a big place. This globe is a big place. And I know that there's a lot of different belief systems that are out there. But in the end, when you clean it all up and you look at who belongs to Jesus Christ and you look at the family of God, there is one body of Christ. Only one. Paul said it's one body of Christ. Now, there are many parts to it, and there's a lot of good scripture over there in the Corinthian letter. We could go and read about the different parts of the body and the importance of having all those different parts that the body might balance itself out and be complete and be whole. Well, the body of Christ is just like that. We have a lot of different parts. Here's a little part right here in Anger community. Here's a little part of the body of Christ. A couple blocks over, there's another church. There's another little part of the body of Christ. Wherever churches are here, they're all parts of the body of Christ. These are all the Lord's people. And they're all over the world. Many, many parts, but there's only one body of Christ. And there is one Spirit with a capital S. There's one Holy Spirit. There's not multiple spirits. There's not multiple deities. There's not a plurality of gods. You see, one of the false religions of the day teaches that there is a plurality of gods and things such as, well, it's not really important who you worship or how you worship. It's just you do what feels right to you. And that's what many people are doing today. They don't have a standard. They don't have a guide. They're not reading God's word, and they're confused. And a lot of people think that there is a plurality of gods. God says, no, there's not any others. I'm the only one. One body of Christ, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Paul said all those things in Ephesians chapter 4. You know how many gods it is? It's one. You know how many gods we're trying to serve and to worship this morning? One. One God. He's the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I can't explain it to you hardly any more than that, because the Bible doesn't explain it more than that. But it tells us that that's how he's composed. He's a three-person Godhead, but they're all individual, but they are all God. I can't explain it more than that. But I will tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe what God's Word says, and that's what God's Word says. 1 John 5:7. There's a good test, too. If you ever pick up a Bible and you ever wonder, and I wonder what version this is, I wonder, can I believe this? Go straight to 1 John 5:7 and see if it's in there. And see if it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. It's a good test right there. But there's one Lord, and there's one faith. There's so much false teaching today that everything is okay. A blend of things is okay. You want to believe that there's more than two genders? Well, that's okay. No, it's not. It's foolishness. It's a false religion. So, one baptism. What one baptism? I was baptized in 1995, and we're all baptized, most of us, on different days and different times, but Paul says there's one baptism. Well, the Bible tells us that for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit at regeneration and the new birth. That's the same thing. Regeneration and new birth, it's the same thing. Being born from above, born again, it's all the same. It is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I don't care what men say. I don't listen a whole lot to what men say. I can't help but hear sometimes what men say and how men try to define things. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick with God's Word. I plan on staying with God's Word because I believe what God says and I don't believe what most men say. Okay, let God be true and every man a liar. I believe what God says and I believe what's in His book. And I know what His book says, and if you'll read it, you'll know what it says also. May God bless you.